Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You are listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. As always, I'm with my guys. First off, Mr. Matt Welty.
Feels like a week's already happened, and it's only Tuesday.
Absolutely. And, of course, Mr. Brendan Dunn. How we doing, guys?
I'm feeling okay. We're recording this on a Tuesday. Yesterday, we had the day off, President's Day. I don't know about you guys, but I went into the city, tried to enjoy it a little bit. It was kind of depressing.
Where'd you go?
I was just hanging out in Soho doing my usual loop, went up Mulberry Street, popped into Noah, tried to go to a furniture store, but they were closed because of the holiday, which is a fake holiday, obviously. But it's so cold and so dead in the city right now. It was depressing. I went to Pepe Rosso. I sat down for a while. You know, it just didn't feel like it used to.
Yeah, I walked the Brooklyn Bridge, and there's a point of the Brooklyn Bridge where you could get off and then go back. Mm-hmm. Or you have to turn around. But then there's points, obviously, that you could go down the stairs and, like, you're still in Brooklyn. I passed that point and ended up walking all the way to the city. Very long walk. But to your point, it did seem a little gray and a little dead, unfortunately. So
Was it a contemplative period for you, Joe? What did you have in the headphones? Did you have some Cuddy in the headphones?
No headphones. Because you know why I'm not wearing the headphones? I was wearing the headphones. But the bikes, you know how many times I almost got hit by a bike?
Brooklyn Bridge, for sure. They're aggressive.
Unless I'm in a fully open spot or field or something and I'm taking a walk, no headphones. It's a little dangerous. So, But yeah, I definitely went for a long walk. It's been, it's Tuesday. Monday, we were off, but we really weren't off. It seemed like a busy day.
Yeah. Instead of walking around New York, do either of you guys picture yourself going around New York in the Supreme jet ski?
Around the island of Manhattan. Well,
did a new lookbook go up?
Yeah, the preview for spring summer 21 and the lookbook went up. Joe, you haven't paged through it? Because I happened to be awake at 6:30 that morning, and I immediately was looking through everything.
Yeah. No, I got to check that out. I know that the Kid Cudi Bape collection drops this Friday, though. I'm looking at I think it's this Friday, the day that this comes out, like the full range of his new collection. So
very nostalgic for like 2013 Complex style era. Yes. Of like the new Supreme lookbook dropped and we're like, we need to milk as many page views as possible.
Is that what was going on?
Yeah, it's like how do we create like the 25 best items you need to check out from the new Supreme lookbook?
You know, did you like anything in there, Welty?
I didn't see much of it. The funny part was, so shout out Mike DiStefano, I saw that he posted the Supreme jet ski, and the angle of it from the side, I looked at it and I was like, is this a sneaker at first? Like the shape of
thought it was the latest Balenciaga runner.
Yeah. Or like a Croc or something like that. The shape of it. And then I was like, wow, there's a Supreme jet ski.
I got to say, there's a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles collab. And if you know me, you know, I have deep, long familial ties to that franchise, so yes. I have to buy the TMNT t-shirt.
Really? Who was your favorite Ninja Turtle?
I was a Michelangelo guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
He was the wittiest. He had the best personality, let's be honest.
So relatable.
Yeah. What are your deep ties, though? What's the deep ties?
Oh, wow. I mean, we could really get it. So
you could read the story on Complex.com, right?
I did write about it a while back, but my father is in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And so is my stepfather.
Okay.
Yeah, because they filmed it in Astoria, Oregon, where I'm originally from. So he, you know,
he played Donatello?
He was a pirate. He was a pirate. Yeah. He sneaked in one or two speaking lines, but not a prominent role. But yeah, so I've always been a Turtles guy. And, you know, just growing up when I grew up. So
I remember getting the, what was it, the blimp? No, not the blimp. It was, Was it the blimp?
There was a blimp.
They had a blimp. I remember there was a
blimp in like a streetcar.
Yes. Yeah. There was like a van and a blimp.
That shot the pizzas out of it?
Yeah. I remember for Christmas I got the blimp and it was this big, big whole ordeal. But it was a great toy at that time. Everyone, Ninja Turtles, man.
Remember
so
the toys they had where they folded into the shell? That was a classic Ninja Turtles action figure.
Amazing franchise.
I was a bigger G.I. Joe fan growing up over Ninja Turtles.
But I never really got into G.I. Joe.
It was like, I'd say Ninja Turtles is a close two, but G.I. Joe's was a number one.
The Ninja Turtle video games too, Turtles in Time for the Super Nintendo, I played the shit out of that game. Or at the arcade when they had all four and you could team up. You come out of the
sewer, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Ninja Turtles.
Pizza Time.
Yeah.
Big Apple. 3 a.m. I have all those intros memorized in my head.
This week's sneaker news. Anyone hit on the Stussy Huaraches? I got a pair of the tan ones.
Manual? Or you got a pair?
I got a pair. I ordered a pair and it came.
I tried on the Stussy website. Wasn't able to hit on them. I know there's the wider release this week. I feel like maybe they will be easy to acquire. I think for some people, they said that they were sitting like on the Stussy site in Australia or in the UK. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not, but Welty and I were just talking about how it's not going for that much on the secondary market. So it might be one of those ones where you just bite the bullet and pay the $200 plus fees or something.
Wider release in stores or where?
I think this past week was just the Stussy release, so this coming week is all the other Nike retailers that are stocking them.
Got it. And then the other big news, March, we're almost in March, the Clot and the Bacons seem to be coming back. Are the Bacons coming back the same month?
I think for Air Max month.
I think it's both Air Max. Well, we don't want to confirm it yet. We don't know the release dates, but it looks to be both Air Max Day things, and I think the Bacons were supposed to be last year. I did pose this in Slack. To me, I feel like you've got to pick one, the Bacon or the Clot, and just focus your time and your energy. Joe, are you a Clot guy on this one?
I have the original Bacons, but I would like another pair. I think the soles on the original ones are in rough shape. I haven't worn them a lot, but I definitely tried them on and wore them over break or earlier, maybe in like November or something, and the soles were struggling. So I would like another pair of Bacons, but the Clot, you guys know.
You can only pick one, Joe.
If I only had to pick one, I would go for the Clots, but I'm going to try for both.
It's tough because I feel like the Bacons are something that if I got the shoe, I would wear it much more often because it's such a more practical sneaker.
Totally.
But in my head, I'm kind of like, I want a pair of those fucking Clots.
Really?
You know? Those Clots. Yeah, I love those Clots.
I never really, I didn't own either of those shoes when they first came out, but the Clot was never one that I really, really wanted, but the Bacons definitely were. I'm super going after Bacon Air Max 90s.
And another thing, sorry, before you started talking about Ninja Turtles that we skipped over on Supreme, or something I think is going to be very big, is that there's a Kaws collection coming out in this Supreme.
Was that in the lookbook?
It was in the preview. We'll hit on manual and maybe we'll resell it for a couple. But
and there's like, I think there's like four Kaws decks.
But that's nothing new. You know, they did that Kaws outline thing way back when.
But you can imagine if you hit it on, it's going to go for a decent amount of money.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll take that. Also, other shoes I do want to mention. I know we're going back and forth a little bit here, but Cool Grey 3s. I think those come out this week. I need those.
With the orange hints in it?
I need those.
Yeah, see, I was never a big fan of those.
I love that shoe. I told some nostalgic stories about it briefly on Full Size Run, new episode out now. I don't know. I think it was the first shoe I bought on Nike Talk, as I said in that episode. So it has some special memories embedded in it for me. But I did promise on Twitter a while back that it was a shoe I'd gladly pay full retail price for. And now I'm kind of like, oh, wait a minute. $200? I don't know. Mm. You know?
Yeah, I think I told you guys. I wasn't sure. I almost bought the Fire Red 3s when they came out at the same time. But the pair had pen all over the tongue.
This is way back then?
Yeah.
Pen all over the tongue. What, it was a beat? Where?
It was like the display model, and for some reason there was pen marks on the tongue at Finish Line, Joe, in Manchester, New Hampshire.
Did they offer you the 10% discount or what?
No, they didn't. I was waiting for it. And if they were going to be like, hey, we'll give you like the 20% off, I would have considered it. But
wait a minute. The shoe has pen marks on it and they're not going to give you a discount?
Yeah, that's a little store? Wild. They were
just kind of like, hey, we don't think you'd want it. You know, they kind of let, I think the guy kind of just left it at like, oh, you know, it's kind of fucked up.
Listen, if JLP was working that floor, he would have let you,
I would have took it off with a scuff and stain eraser real quick. The pen would have came off the tongue. A leather tongue? Really?
I don't think once the pen dried, I don't know if you can get that out of a shoe.
I still got the scuff and stain on deck, just in case. This is literally probably from 2002, but I still got it.
That's incredible. You think the chemicals still work, Joe?
No, it looks a little wild in there, actually. Oh my
God. Actually, one other Jordan thing I do want to mention quick. I don't want to make this a weekly segment on the show, but people keep asking us about Trophy Room Jordan 1s. Here's your PSA. I wrote a 3,000-word piece on them. Hopefully, that should be enough for you. That's how I feel about the shoe. That's what I know about the shoe.
Bar in there too.
Just go read the piece, okay?
I'm a Meunier 3s.
I'm a Meunier 3s, yes. James Whitner posted those. He actually showed me those a couple weeks earlier on FaceTime. Happy.
You've been holding out on this, Joe?
Yeah, a little bit. You guys knew they were coming. He showed them to me. Very clean pair. Is there a date on that?
I think they're coming out next month. I feel a little bit silly because I have the press release right here in my inbox and I don't know it off the top of my head, but let's have a look. Ama Meunier Jordan 3. There's no firm release date on it just yet, Joe, from what I'm seeing in the press release they sent me this morning. It looks like they're just saying it's slated to launch in spring 2021. Okay. At a price of $200 adult sizing and $90 kid sizing. Cool they're making it in adult and kid sizes, though.
I'm interested to see what the spring big Jordan collab is going to be. We obviously saw which the early year collab is, that, you know, the trophy room that everyone was talking about. I'm wondering to see what the spring,
like, from Jordan.
Yeah, from Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess Ama Meunier is the one right now. I feel like people are going to be more focused on all that Air Max month stuff or Air Max.
It feels like there has to be like a bigger, like, no disrespect to either James or Marcus, but it feels like there has to be a bigger, like, non-retail partner, you know, like
somebody beyond this sneaker world is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, with the Travis Fragment, that seems like there's what a weird, obscure news surrounding that. I didn't even know it was a Fragment logo. I thought it was, and then I was like, wait, a triple collab on those Jordan 1 lows?
Yeah, I think Hiroshi Fujiwara himself was spotted wearing them out in Japan, right? With the Fragment colorway and the backward swoosh and stuff. Man, if they release, do we know anything about that shoe possibly releasing that we can say right here?
I don't know anything. That's why it's so much obscure.
Are you holding out on us again, Joe?
No, I don't know anything about those.
Non-sneaker news, latest pickup, something I finally bought that was harder to buy than a pair of sneakers to some extent, is I posted it on my IG story, and I think I told you guys, but I got a Rogue Echo Bike, which is like kind of like
the exercise joint, right?
Yeah.
Does it take up a lot of room? What's that like?
It's in the like the corner of my kitchen, and I have like seven. I think I told you guys I need to go to Goodwill because I have like 70 pairs of sneakers that I'm
Is this like a Peloton, Welty, or there's no screen involved?
Well, you had to put it together, but it's like a pedal bike that also has the hand arms on it. But it came in finally, and I had to like check the website every single day for like a month and a half to finally see this thing get restocked.
Why are people flipping these too? Why are these hard to buy?
I think it's like a specialized, you know, sort of thing where it's like everyone really wants that one. And, you know, because of quarantine, people were buying their own instead of going to the gym. But either way,
is it possible the cook groups are eating them up?
Maybe.
Your bot boys?
Did you set it up yet?
Because yeah, so that's what I was going to say. So that the funny part is, so it comes and I'm like, when it finally came, it was like delivered by the end of the day, and it finally came at like 8:45 p.m. and the thing shows up and it's in the biggest box I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I live on the second floor and I'm like, oh God.
This is funny because I remember a few episodes back, you were trying to get at me for complaining about bringing all those sneaker boxes up my stairs. And now here you
are. Did it come pre-assembled?
No. This one box weighed 150 pounds and I had to...
You've been on your fitness shit? Come on, man.
Dude, I'm not carrying a 150-pound
box. That's a light CrossFit workout. Slam some avocados afterwards.
Up the stairs, yeah. And I finally put that thing together. And there was so much styrofoam and so much cardboard to get rid of that my whole apartment is filled with styrofoam pellets. I went to go make a cup out of a Keurig the other day. And as I go, there was styrofoam floating at the top of the coffee cup.
Yeah, see, I struggle with even putting Legos together. That's why I avoid even a Peloton or anything like that. There's no way. There was like a entertainment system that looked like really good and was super reasonable price I saw in a store. And it was like assembly required. I was like, I can't buy this. I'm just so bad at that stuff.
You didn't have the Legos growing up? You weren't a Bionicle guy?
My dad had to like build all my Legos. I was bad at that stuff. So,
but were you super into it? Did you have a lot of sets?
I had the police station, which was like the best one. Mm-hmm. So many. I loved Legos for a minute. Yeah.
Walty, were you a Lego guy?
To a certain extent. I had mentioned previously earlier, like G.I. Joe was
right.
my yeah. thing, and that's like all I played with. Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of cool. I got a Cortez from 1996 in my size from Gusto de Ninja. It was actually my first purchase from him. But I love the black
stuff from him over the years. Do you know? See, the Cortez to me is a tough one because a lot of these shoes, we know if they come from a different era that they may mm-hmm. or may not hold up. Do we know how well a Cortez from 96 is going to hold up?
No idea, but it was a cheap purchase. But the fact that I have like three pairs, I love wearing black and white Cortezes. If you like, when I go out,
yeah.
like for dinner or something, that is like a shoe that I'm in a lot. To be honest, I don't show up to dinner really in like Union 4s or anything like that. When like you would think maybe, but like the Cortez kind of like low profile sneakers or New Balance is what I like kind of go get dinner with.
Flex on them to let them know.
Not Joe? Really, to be honest. Like I love wearing like dirty, kind of like beat up Cortezes. Just mm-hmm. like when
shout
I go
out.
Shout
out to Gusto too, because he's got some cool stuff. If you're not following him, please do go follow him. He's got a lot of Japanese exclusives and things like that. I've got some stuff from him over the years. I actually made a similar purchase recently, not from him, but from somebody in France. And we were discussing this one in Slack, I think. But I bought a pair of Air Mox from like 1996 or 1997.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yachty had the Yachty flow.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yachty
oh, he had the mock boot type thing,
yeah.
right? Yeah. It's funny, the Air Mox, I don't know if you guys have ever owned it, but it's a shoe that I've wanted to own a pair for so long, and I would always look for random old ones on eBay, but could never find the right size or was never happy with the prices and things like that. I did probably pay a little bit too much for these ones, but whatever.
I love having the vintage sneakers.
So, funny story about the Air Mach. When I was working at Foot Locker, I really, really wanted that shoe. And there was this one girl that I worked with who was a huge sneakerhead, and she always used to go to all the outlets to see what she could buy and like resell like early on. And they had the Air Machs, and they were on sale for $30. And she went to the outlet and was like, hey, I got the Air Machs over the weekend. And she bought every single size in the shoe. And I'm like, can you please just sell me a pair? Mm-hmm. I'll pay more than that. And she was like, no. I don't want to. I want to hold on to them for years and see what value they accrue over the time, and was serious about it and
that's
wouldn't
a crazy
sell me the
hold,
shoes.
The Air Mach. That's not really one people were investing
maybe
in.
Maybe that's where Yachty got his from.
And then she had hit me up, you know, like a couple years ago being like, hey, I still have all those shoes, by the way. I never resold them. And I was like, I could have got a pair. Wow. You never.
Wait, does she have them right now?
I think so.
Let's get Air Mach for the whole team.
Yeah, we need that. All right, guys, we had Bun B last week. We have another great guest. Super excited about the guest today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Our guest on today's podcast is one of the most celebrated skaters in the sport's history. His professional career began in 1999, and for over two decades, his list of accomplishments include accolades like four gold medals at the X Games and consistent Ws at tournaments like the Tampa Pro, Street League, and Battle of the Barracks. He started skating at age 12, and by 14, he had his first sponsorship. During his career, he would land top-level sponsorships with brands like Plan B, Nixon, Mountain Dew, and Target. But perhaps most notable is his long relationship with Nike SB, where he became the first skater to get a signature shoe. Throughout his time at Nike SB, he's had over 10, yes, 10 signature models. As recently as 2020, he also collaborated on a Dunk High with the brand. When we went to visit his closet a few years ago, we saw a crazy collection of classic Jordans, Cortezes, and some iconic SB Dunks. He's here to talk his skate and sneaker history. We're honored to have the legend, Paul P-Rod Rodriguez, on the Complex Sneakers podcast. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much. It's quite the intro. Appreciate it.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing very good. Very good. How you guys doing?
Great, great. Happy Feeling to chop right. it up. We have Brendan, and we actually have a little skater of our own, kind of. Matt
a little
Wealthy.
Skater? Yeah. You call him a little skater?
Yeah, he might have done a heel flip or a kick flip once in a while coming up, but he's super excited to chop it up with you.
Cool,
so,
cool.
Paul, we want to go way back with you. I want to know when sneakers first became imprinted in your mind. Was it your cousin Mario in the Cortezes? Was it you with the Jordans on as a baby? Was it skate shoes? What was it?
Yeah, definitely cousin Mario. That's cool that you know that. He definitely was a big imprint with the Cortezes. I want to say it was around, I must have been in second, third grade. And a friend of mine, I was always a real small kid, and a friend of mine.
A little skater.
Yeah, I wasn't a skater yet. I was just a kid. I used to play all kind, you know, basketball in the neighborhood or baseball or skate or whatever, just a boy doing all kinds of stuff. And he was bigger than me, and he had got some new Jordans, and they had the air bubbles and everything. I was so envious. I went home, I told my mom, I begged her, Mom, can I get the Jordans, please. She took me to Foot Locker. I went to go get the same ones, but I couldn't get the ones that had the air bubble in it. I was my feet were too small. I had to be like a 3.5 or something. Mm-hmm. The air bubbles, and I was so bummed because I wanted them so bad. I just remember that really scarred me. scarred me.
You had to get the Sky Jordans instead of the Air Jordans, right?
Yeah, I didn't get them. I didn't want them. I was like, unless they got the air bubbles, I don't want them. So I had always a fascination with air bubbles. That's why, with my first shoe on SB, I said, we can do anything. The only thing I request is I have an air bubble in my shoe. So that was the one thing I remember having to have just for that.
Speaking of air bubbles on shoes, my first memory of seeing you obviously is in the City Stars street cinema when you're this tall skating the Jackson 5. But you were skating in S back then on the brand, and you were skating in Costin's shoes, the first shoe with the air bubble. What was your sneaker memories of being on S at the time? I know you looked up to Costin at that point.
For people in my generation, Costin is our Jordan, mm-hmm. So, his shoes, when I first got on S, the Costin 3s were just coming out, and those were very much Jordan inspired. Yep. And I remember getting a whole box of them, and I slept with the shoes in my bed that night, and they were so special. They were just like a capsule of my childhood and that special time of my life. The shoes that I really cared for before I was sponsored or anything in high school, I had the Chad Muscas on S. And those ones, every day after school, I would come home, I would clean them with the toothbrush, wipe them down with the towel so that they'd be ready to go every day after school. I never skated them. I just wore them to school to look fresh. And
what were you stashing in the tongue pocket?
I didn't stash much.
Muska has been coming up a bunch on this podcast in recent weeks. He's like a legend for skaters.
He's a super legend.
From a style perspective.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely a guy who was not afraid to take it out of the box, especially at that era of skateboarding. It was it's all skate. If you do anything else, it's lame. It was so protected and so judgmental at the same time on each other. But Muska was one of the few guys who was just open about his other influences and other hobbies, and he didn't care. And he was such a big superstar that it really opened a lot of things for other skaters to be cool about having other interests.
And Paul, you talk about having the Muscas and having Costas and those skate shoes, but I get the sense that you really were still very much into Nike at that point too. Like in high school, were you switching between the Nikes and then like your chill shoes and your skate shoes? Is that how it worked for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I grew up in the 90s, you know, so for me, it was all Jordan was everybody's hero. Even though I wasn't a basketball player per se, it was such a present thing. You know, you had to have some Nikes. So for sure, even into becoming a sponsor skater and turning professional, when I was riding for S, when I wasn't skating, I was always wearing Air Force Ones or mm-hmm. Cortezes. I would always go to Foot Locker and just buy them and just have them. Yeah. I mean, Nike's just, it's just a staple. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's, you know, it's just that household name that you grew up with it. It's just part of culture, part of all of our culture. It's kind of hard to not, you know, especially if you grew up in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, really anywhere in the world now, but I don't know. It just was always present in my life, and they always were the coolest ones. And when you're a little kid with your friends, you're like, oh, my shoes jump higher than yours, or my shoes are faster than your shoes. And like, it was just so fun to have those little debates. So,
P-Rod, what did Nelly's Air Force One song do to you when it came to that shoe?
That's why I always have white on whites. That song, I would bump it nonstop. That whole album, really, Nellyville, I loved it. Big Nelly fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. All of us who were familiar with that era had to have some Air Forces.
That debate comes up online every it's been a recent debate, but it really shows that song and that video did a lot for Air Force Ones.
I can't imagine that. I would love to see like the sales numbers that year in Air Force One, especially the white on whites. Mm-hmm. Like the year before to the year that song came out, I would love to see what the the sales numbers were. It had to have been double or triple.
Paul, and then 2005, you leave S to go to Nike. It was like rumored that S was like pitching you on your own signature line at the time. Like what was that looking like, and why didn't you want to go with the S shoe over the Nike?
Yeah, so I definitely at that time was already skating samples of my signature shoe for S, you know, and especially at that time, it was definitely kind of like frowned upon to want to go to a company like Nike within skateboarding. You know, I always like to dream big. And when I was coming up skating, I never fell too much into that, like, just keep it core, keep it, you know, I wanted to live large. I'm a big hip hop fan. I wanted to have the nice chains and the fancy mm-hmm. cars too. Like that was a big influence for me. And, you know, growing up in the Jordan era, where Jordan was just, everybody wanted to be like Mike era, and Nike being the first pair of shoes I ever had when I was a baby, I have them sitting over here on the shelf. It just made sense. Like it was like when people talk about selling out, I look at it as that is like going against something that's like your morals, right? Something you wouldn't, that you're taking payment to go against your morals. Mm-hmm. But how mm-hmm. can you be selling out if you've been a lifelong customer of something? Yes. You know, like, so if anything, it was probably the truest move I made, and I just stuck to my guns and felt good about it. It was like a no-brainer. How could you, like, now at this point in my life, if I didn't make that choice and I had stayed with S, I have no idea where my career would be. I'd probably be bitter and have a chip on my shoulder and regret it. So I'm happy to be sitting in this position, talking to you guys and reflecting on that good decision.
How do you, so you inked that deal. How does it feel as someone who went to the Foot Locker to get the Jordans? And obviously Jordan and Nike they're, you know, stepbrothers essentially, but ink that deal. How did that day feel?
It was crazy. I was 19 years old, just a, you know, little Mexican kid from San Fernando Valley riding a skateboard. And now the company that, you know, had everyone's biggest hero as the staple athlete in there, they're asking me to be a part of their skate program. It just was, it was unreal. I couldn't really wrap my head around it, how impactful that was and what was in store in years to come. I felt like I made it, you know?
Do you remember what the first box that showed up had in it?
Yeah, the first box, I don't remember specifically, but it was all Dunks because it was during the first kind of dunk craziness. It was all dunks. I definitely remember I had the Supreme dunks, all three of the colorways, the baby blue, orange, and red tops, with the stars on them. Yeah, I had all those in the box, and I had a bunch more. I can't exactly recall which all ones, but those ones stood out the most because in my first Nike ad ever, I'm wearing the orange ones. And I remember my friend Nigel, who was living with me, he was a big sneakerhead. And I remember him and some other people like always getting mad at me. Like, why are you skating those? What are you doing? And at that time I was just like, what am I supposed to skate? That's what they send me. Like, I got to skate, right? Like, and I wasn't a sneakerhead. I'm a skatehead, you know, like I'm like, man, just young and naive. I kind of, now thinking back, that's one regret I had. I could have probably had $1 million sneaker collection by now. You know what I mean? Let a lot of things slip through my fingers. So, but
were the sneakers like that ones that you were trying to get before you signed to Nike, or you just weren't really paying attention to the dunk thing that much at that point?
No, I wasn't paying attention to it at all at that point. I was still on my Air Force and Cortez kick. Mm-hmm. At that time, that was about 2004. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't paying attention to it at all. But then they came, and then people would, like, I would notice, like, just skating or being around events, and people just like, oh my God, you have the blah, blah, blahs with this, that. And I'm like,
were they trying to buy them off you?
At some point that happened, and I definitely was like, okay, I'm going to save some of these and definitely do a little side hustle for sure. I've definitely done my fair share of that. I mean, I can't imagine that there's any athlete, especially SB athlete, who hasn't done a little black market trading, you know.
That was a common thing for people to be getting these rare sneakers and then selling them.
Hell yeah, at that point for sure it was super common. Yeah, so you know, once I found out what were the good ones and what were the ones like people were really into, I would definitely like, yeah, you know, slang them.
Paul, I had heard that Costin was frustrated with you when you left S at first to go to Nike, and it's crazy too because he ended up getting shit, you know, for leaving Lakai and going to Nike. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he was frustrated. I mean, Costin's always been supportive, and you know, to this day, he's still a great friend of mine. I wouldn't say he was frustrated, but he was definitely like, he definitely called me like, "Hey, man." You know, he was on S, and at that time, you know, he was my hero that I tried to mimic growing up. And at that time, we had every single sponsor exactly the same. You know, I had got on every sponsor he had. And when this opportunity came up and I went to Nike, I remember he gave me a call, like, you know, last ditch effort on trying to make me stay at S. Like, sure you want to stay? You know, you want to stay? Just keep the skate. And I'm like, sorry, Eric, I got to do it, man. I got to do it. But not frustrated, but he definitely, you know, he tried. He tried to like keep me there, but it was very validating for sure when he ended up coming aboard. I was really happy to have him a part of Nike because he is a real deal sneakerhead. Costin is, he was always a sneakerhead. Even he was always wearing Nikes too when he wasn't skating. I remember us going on tours in Europe, and he would love going to the sneaker shops in Europe because they would all have different stuff that you couldn't get in the States, and he would come out with boxes of shoes. So he's always been a sneakerhead since back then. So for him, it makes a lot of sense for him to be a part of Nike, and just seeing him in like shoe meetings and like how, and he's got this crazy like genius memory. So he can like name a shoe from whatever year. Oh, that material, I'd love to get that material and apply it to this. And I'm like, wow, like he's got a designer's brain. So it's actually perfect for me to be on Nike.
One of the things too about you going to Nike is, even though you had it in your head that it's a historically great company and this thing that you looked up to for all your life, you weren't just happy to be there, right? Like, I remember you saying in another interview that part of the stipulation was you wanted to get your own shoe. So you weren't just like satisfied with just getting a check.
Right. You know, I was very lucky to be so naive and confident in myself at that time. Like, I was really not cocky, but I was confident at that point. I was coming into my own as a skater. I was really confident in what I was able to do and what I could accomplish in skateboarding at that time. And I just had this dream since I was a little kid. I, you know, the dream for every pro skater, at least when I was coming up, was to have your signature board and your signature shoe. And like, for me, if those two weren't together, then the dream was incomplete. And I had to have my dream complete, especially when Nike approached me. Like I said, I was already skating my shoes with my name on it, on S. And, you know, they flew me to campus. They wowed me. I sat with Sandy Bodecker. They took me on tour. The whole campus showed me every building, everything. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, I didn't know companies exist. I thought they just had offices and warehouses, you know?
Right.
We flew back and, you know, my agent told me everything what they were offering. And I was like, okay, that, all that sounds awesome. Am I getting a shoe? And she was like, they said no signature shoes. They're not doing any signature shoes right now. And it was like, without having to think, I was like, oh, well, I can't do it. I can't. It's my dream. I have to have a signature shoe. I have my name on a shoe right now that I'm testing out. It's like, I can't. And she went back, talked with them and said, hey, you know, the kid, he's not going to budge if this isn't part of it. And they came back and thank God they did. And like, now thinking about it, how like ballsy and risky that was to like,
good though.
No, it was, it's good. And I'm very grateful for the decision I had then. It's like, I guess now at this point of experience, it's like at that time I didn't know what I didn't know. Now I know too much to be that risky, you know? So it's a really cool story because yeah, like we were talking earlier about regretting if I'd never took that deal. But yeah, now that you point that out, I could have blown the deal by being too stubborn and standing my ground as well. So I'm grateful that they came around and saw the vision.
And then what was it like once they agreed to that and they started developing your shoe? Were you going to Beaverton a lot to meet with designers and things like that?
Yeah, yeah. I was up there for a while, for years. I was up there, I don't know, 6-7 times a year. And I would sit at the time. The first shoe I designed that with a guy named Michael Hernandez. Super rad dude. He designed my first two shoes. We would just go out to dinners and just talk. He would pick my brain, try to get to know me and like, what was I into? And those designer guys, they're really good at like, they like understanding your personality and what you're into at that time in your life. And like, somehow they have a ability to like encapsulate that in a design, which is crazy talent. And I remember, you know, he had this like notebook with hand drawings of different things. And I go, ooh, I kind of like this upper. Oh, the sole on this one looks good. What if they were together and boom, boom, boom. And then, you know, we'd go on to a computer design. And then we had with the 3D print design, like, you know, they had 3D printers back then. Like,
really?
Yeah, they would just pump shoes out like 3D printer, like all whatever that resin material is. And like, yeah. And just, I would be able to hold the shoe right there. And it was really, really cool. Yeah. So it's usually about a full year process from like start to finish.
I think one of the most memorable things too about your first signature shoe with Nike was all the people that got to collaborate on it as well.
I mean, yeah.
You had the first skateboard Air Jordan, the J-Rod, the gray shoe with the cement print, which was huge. You had Futura, you had Stash, you had Mr. Cartoon.
The Futura ones that Rocky wore a couple years ago.
How did the Jordan happen? How did they agree to give you, Paul Rodriguez, a skateboarder, a Jordan sneaker, kind of?
Man, I don't know, man. I can only thank God for that, making that happen. Again, that was just me being 19 and just like all the memories growing up of Jordan and the Jordan era and the elephant print being so, you know, such a big part of that. I just threw it out there like, would it be possible to do this? And, you know, within Nike's so huge that like, Nike basketball, sportswear, SB, they're basically all different companies. Mm-hmm. So like they have to go and like there's so much politics between them and, you know, legal stuff. Like it's not just like, oh yeah, take whatever you want. It's like, no, they battle for it. And I don't know I was shielded from all that. I don't know what the behind the scenes battles were and who, you know, was it a big fight or not? But, you know, thank God they reached out to Jordan and got it. And not only that, what was even the harder, bigger deal that they were so surprised on was getting the Jumpman on the tongue, because that was like
unheard of.
That doesn't happen. Yeah. I don't know if they had ever done it on another shoe outside of Jordan at that point.
So people behind the scenes were pulling strings, or did you have to build with MJ or like anyone like that?
Nah,
that
to this stature? Day, to this day, I've still never met MJ. So okay. Yeah, it's, it was, they were behind the scenes just working their magic, trying to, finesse it. And thank God they did.
But you do have a special pair.
I do. I do.
Talk about that special pair that relates to MJ.
Yeah, I have, that was for the P-Rod. Four, they did a four, and then they did the Cupsole version of, I mean, the Volk version of it. I was in New York that year. We did the commercial in New York, and Nas blessed us with, you know, doing a voiceover over that commercial for the shoe release party. I went back to New York, and we were at this cool little, I can't even remember what the name of the bar was, but it was really awesome. And they blessed me with a pair of shoes in the box, a size 13. And I opened it. It was a card from a guy who works closely with Jordan himself. He was like, you know, Paul, hope you enjoy these. One day I'd like to tell you the story in person. But I guess the story was they had made two pairs of these shoes for Jordan in North Carolina colors, gave it to him. And then the shoe party was about to happen. And I don't know who called Jordan's guy and asked, but they're like, actually, can we actually get Jordan to sign one of those pairs? And we want to give it to Paul for his party. And so they presented me with these shoes. They're just two Paul, nice shoes. Michael Jordan is it's crazy. I have them sitting right here, just in a box, chilling right there. And that's my Kobe note.
Awesome. We'll definitely get to that. I want to go back though to what Welty brought up, the P-Rod one and A$AP Rocky wearing them pretty recently. Yeah. Well, it must have been like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe. And I remember we posted on it on Complex. But what was it like to see that, you know, someone who is so fashion forward?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, if you don't know, it's an obscure sneaker to the kids these days. But what was it like to see him wearing that?
It was awesome. I loved it. It felt just really cool. I think I screenshot and posted it myself. You know, A$AP Rocky's an amazing artist. He's definitely super fashion forward. And for him to like see something in those shoes and like want to rock them and bring them back, it was just very flattering to me. And I was just like, it was so far after the shoes came out.
Yeah.
I'm so curious how he got them, where he got them, who put them on to him. I would love to know the story.
I think I have a little bit of the answer actually. And
I
don't want to be too self-serving here, but a guy who works on his style team, Matthew Henson, is a former Complex employee. And I remember around the time this happened, Paul, A$AP Rocky came to the office, the Complex office. And I mentioned the P-Rods to him because he had the Testing album was coming out at around the same time. So it was a similar symbol on the shoe. And I was like, where did you get that? Where did you find that reference? And he, I think, gave credit to Matthew Henson, his stylist, or a guy who works on his team. So I think Matthew Henson put that together.
Shout out to Matt Henson.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Legend.
Much love. Yeah, that was a huge blessing. Huge blessing. Yeah, it's cool.
Paul, two shoes I want to ask you about that I think are the weirdest things that you've done in your career. On the P-Rod 2, you had a shoe, the Free Rod, which was like a running shoe, and you also had like a UPS boot looking version.
Yeah,
of
the
it.
Combat boot one. Yeah.
How the hell did those two like shoes happen? Like, what's this?
That's
the story
a good.
Line?
Okay, so the Free Rod.
I love that
came
shoe.
About because
I love that Free Rod shoe.
No, I loved it too. It was a good. We started calling them R&R shoe, rest and recovery shoes. So I would always be wearing at that time like the free shoes. Just when I'm chilling, I just like the way they look. They were comfortable and like how like each little square separated in the sole. I don't know. I would just always wear them all the time. And when I was like chilling, just like, I was like, oh, they just feel good on my feet all day. I'm jumping and taking impact and whatnot. And these just feel nice on my feet. So, somebody had the idea of it. It wasn't my idea, but like the designers, like I was telling you, man, they really get inside your head and they understand where you're at and what you're into. And they like find these ways to apply and put them together. And they presented me with those. And I was like, wow, like, yo, these are crazy. And the colors were crazy. But the boot, have no damn idea where how that came about. I don't know whose idea it was, because they also made a bunch of different ones for like the launch. There was they went down to Mexico and had a actual guy who hand makes like cowboy boots. I guess he was like the number one dude who make all the cartel bosses like stuff, and like they had a pair of shoes like for me that they had him make of my P-Rod 2s, and he would embroider like, you know, different symbols on there that symbolize different things that he would usually do for those bosses, and they presented me with those shoes too. So like I think they just let the designers go crazy and just come up with — Nike loves to tell stories, so they would just create these. I forget what the story was behind the boot. I'm sorry, man.
No, it's all good.
You've had so many shoes with Nike SB, and you're so intrinsically linked with them. Do you pay a lot of attention to like where Nike SB is in the marketplace? Like, do you feel like when Nike SB is doing better, that you're doing better?
Oh, not really. You start getting your head into that stuff. I don't know. For me, like focusing on like where they are in the market. Are they the hot brand right now? Mm-hmm. The not hot brand right now? Like, I don't know. I don't like to attach my thought process to that. I just like to kind of stay on track and stay on focus of what I want to do. Cause I know, like, especially with Nike, you know, they were here long before I was around. They'll be here long after I'm, you know, actively skating. So like, you're going to be a company that's a forever company. You're going to have your ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and it's just the cycle. So even if Nike isn't in the best marketplace by their standards, they're still at the top of the heap, you know, battling.
I just wasn't sure if you had to like put that hat on, because like you have Primitive, you know, a brand and also a store. So like how much you're involved in like, oh, Nike SB is doing well for us right now, or this other brand's doing well for us right now.
Oh, yeah. No, see, because we closed the store down probably about 5 years ago, and we just went all online, and now it's just Primitive brand stuff. So we don't We don't sell shoes or other brands anymore. Now it's just a pure Primitive brand. So yeah, I see why you asked that question, but no, I don't. I just try to do my thing, keep my eyes focused forward, and just the best I can.
As a sneakerhead and being close to the brand, though, how do you feel about the recent heat in the past, I would say 2 years, of the Nike SB dunks and the collabs and things like that? Has it been cool to see that, or, and how are in tune are you with it?
I'm in tune ish. I'm not like, I definitely don't want to fake a front, you know, act like I'm super knowing of everything, but for me, it's really nostalgic, because it reminds me of when I first got on Nike and that wave that was going on back then, and now to see it back again and this generation getting so excited about it. I don't know. It just feels like I get to relive that again. And then having been able to participate in creating my own dunk, which I never had got to do before, was really special. And I can't say too much about it now because we're a little too early, but I have another one coming out.
Another dunk? Around,
yeah.
Oh, awesome.
This year, in a handful of months. I don't know if I'm saying too much or if I'm going to get trouble for this, but I'm really excited about this one. I hope it means what I think it'll mean to people. It ties back to a dunk story from before, a dunk story, but also ties in my story with Nike. So I have a feeling, especially like guys like yourselves who are aware of the history and everything, will appreciate it.
So it might be green and red and white or something like that.
It may. We'll see.
It may be. Is that a pun?
You never know. If you, you can look into it.
Is that a pun?
However you want to look into it. Could be a big pun. No, I'm just,
you plead the fifth.
I'm not pleading anything. I'm just letting you know something's coming.
Awesome.
Something's coming, and just. I hope it's appreciated by sneaker culture, and I hope it, you know, shows the new generation of sneakerheads too, like, you know, just puts them in tune with some history and whatnot.
Paul, another person that you're in line with, who also has a legendary Nike history is Nick Diamond, who we've had on the podcast. Being sponsored by Diamond. I know you have like all the Diamond dunks. I saw you like when he sent you like all the new ones. Like,
yeah.
You guys ever have like sneaker conversations, or what's your relationship like with Nick when it comes to that stuff?
We don't really have too much sneaker conversation. Usually when I hang out and see him, I just talk to him, I don't know, just about whatever's going on in that moment. I mean, you know, I've known him since I was 17, 18, you know, when he first started Diamond, and it was just small little brand he was doing I was riding for Girl Skateboards at the time, and he was doing it out of their distribution. So I've been, you know, one of the early riders with Diamond. So I don't know, we just catch up and sometimes talk about old times, talk about, you know, how's Diamond doing, how's Primitive doing, and just catching up and whatnot. But I'm always over there at Diamond skating the skate park. And to be honest with you, I can't keep up with him in those conversations because he's a real designer, like a design mind kind of guy. Yeah. And, you know, I'm a skater, and by default, I became into the sneaker culture. You know, I was welcomed into the sneaker culture by default, just through the skating that brought me there. You know what I mean? But he came into the culture as a designer, and so I can't really talk that talk with him.
Another relationship that we have to talk about, you talked about the note that you have close to you and someone who welcomed you into the 10 Signature Shoe Club, Kobe Bryant. And yeah. You had a history with him at Nike over the years. What was it like, and what are some of the stories that stand out between your two interactions?
Yeah, so I got to hang out with Kobe maybe, I don't know, good amount of times. I don't know, 15, 20 times over the years. And he was just always... I think what I take from my interactions with Kobe is I think he was aware of what he meant to people. And I think he treated that with a lot of respect, because everybody who interacted with him, he's the star that gets the starstruck type guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I would imagine Jordan's similar, you know, but so like he was very, you never felt like he was approachable. He never felt like, oh shit, it's Kobe. Can I say what's up or whatever? Like I remember the first time I met him, he actually asked to meet me. We were doing but they bust in a lot of kids from different LA schools, and they brought in some Nike LA athletes. It was Serena, Kobe, and myself. And this was like early on still in my career. And I'm like tripping, like I was feeling so like, you know, insecure. Like I was like, dude, what am I doing? I'm just like, you got Serena, you got Kobe, and they want to bring me out. I felt so nervous and awkward. Like, what am I doing here? And I remember I was in my little waiting room area, and somebody came in and said, hey, Kobe would like to say hi to you. And I went to his area, like, you know, they're about to put us on stage and do interviews, so they're giving him like a little bit of makeup or whatever. And he was just like, what's up, man? How you doing? Like, what's good? Nice to meet you. Heard a lot about you. He's like, man, I tried to skateboard when I was like 16. I bust my ass. Never did that again. I was just like, I got so like frozen. Oh, yeah. Oh, dang. That's crazy. Like it was so cool. But ever since then, every time I saw him after that, he was just so welcoming and just like, I don't know, man, just genuine. He came to one of the Maalouf Money Cup contests back in 2009, and he sat in the crowd. And I remember I went to say hi to him and shake his hand. And Vanessa told me like, yeah, our daughter wears your shoes. And I was just like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like, cause at that time they would make the baby size P-Rods too. And he sat and watched the contest and chopped it up. And I remember they interviewed him in the crowd. He said, yeah, I want to see P-Rod skate. Like, I was like, oh my God, what's happening here? Like it was a really humbling and flattering situation. And I got to be in some of his commercials, and I don't know, man, he was just always just very welcoming and nice and cool.
Were you into Kobe sneakers?
Yeah, I've had a lot of Kobe sneakers over the years, you know, because he was the first athlete I remember coming into the league. Like, you know, when I was born, Jordan was already an active professional player. So
right.
Kobe was the first guy, especially, you know, I'm from LA.
Of course.
Athlete that I remember his entire career. I remember him coming in. I remember him being straight out of high school and like everybody making a big deal out of it. And So for me, it was something unique about that, because I don't ever remember paying attention to an athlete as they came into the league or of any sport, and then got to watch his whole career until he retired. So I always, especially when I was on Nike, I always would get his sneakers. I like to shoot around and play hoops, or even when I go work out and train, I like to wear basketball shoes. So I definitely always rock my Kobe's.
And you've skated with Kyrie? Is that?
Yeah.
What's it like skating with Kyrie?
No, I haven't skated with him. I've chilled with Kyrie.
Yeah.
I got to meet him. I actually met him in China. It was the summer before he actually went into the league. And so I think he was like 19 or something like that. He was really young. And Nike used to do this thing out there called the Festival of Sports, where they would get these big arenas and they would put like a little football field over here, basketball courts over here, a skate park over here. And they would basically just have kids come and watch some of the different Nike professional athletes of the different sports, and have big demos, and it was really cool. And so for some reason in the green room, they paired up all the skaters with the basketball players, and we just got to chop it up. We got to talk to Kyrie, got to hang out for a few days. LeBron, Kyrie, Chris Bosh, Amari Stoudemire, a bunch of dudes. So it was cool. And they were all just like, cool. They would come, chill, talk with us, laugh. Like, it just felt like we were one of the guys for a few days. It was cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, because there's that video of him like skating at the barracks or something.
Yeah,
I
wasn't
that.
There. He did tell me that he liked skating and that he wanted to come to one of the contests.
I'm actually glad you're confirming this, because I feel like Wealthy has been very skeptical that the story of Kyrie Irving as a skateboarder is just a Nike brand narrative.
No. He told me then that he was into skating, that he liked it and whatnot, and that he had wanted to come to one of the contests. And you know, he's from Jersey, so we would hit him up, went and put some tickets aside for him at a street league that we did in Jersey. I don't know if he ever came or not. I don't think he came, but he told me that. He said he was into it. So
confirmed. I want to know too, Paul, your life at Nike. How much does it go beyond this Nike SB world? Like, when you go up there, are you involved in things beyond just SB, or it's kind of like this little team? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm not. I wish. But no, you know, I pretty much am just SB. Like I was saying before, like every brand is treated as a separate brand. So it's like, it's basically like you have a bunch of these individual companies all on one campus. It's like a huge WeWork, I guess. I've definitely been able to go. Like, I remember one time they took me to the, to get inspiration for shoe design and stuff. They've definitely taken, like, some designers will be friends with a designer over there at basketball. And I remember going to the basketball, to the Jordan building. I think it was the Jordan building where basketball's in. I can't remember. But, talking with the designers there, and they would show us stuff they're working on, seeing some, like, prototype shoes that they're working on. But as far as being involved, I've got to see cool stuff.
Yeah.
But,
I wonder, because like you hear about other athletes there who have signature shoes, like LeBron, who might go into the Nike Sports Research Lab and get a bunch of things hooked up to his body to measure his stuff. Like,
when you're creating shoes,
do they have that same process for skate shoes?
Yeah, they've done that with us. They'll take us, they have these machines where they scan your feet, and they can see like what kind of arch, do you have flat feet, archy feet, whatever, and they can like help they can essentially make a sole or whatever shoe perfect for you, so that it'll help align your body properly. They've definitely hooked up all kinds of stuff to us and had us done like different tests, like jumping tests, explosiveness tests, and running and certain things just for the fun of it. Done that a few times.
I remember being at your house, if I remember correctly, you had your cigars on a table, then under the table, all the teal and black boxes.
Uh-huh.
Nike SB. What have you got that have been excited? Are you into like the Ben and Jerry stuff and dunks like that, that are going like, you know, that have been talked about so much?
Yeah, I got the Ben and Jerry's. I got the, the Grateful Dead ones. Mm. The other day I got these ones. I don't know what like the street name is for it. And I don't know. It said I can't post them until the 20th, but like the carpet ones.
I'm a big carpet. I don't know if you follow carpet, but I'm a big supporter of them. So yeah, we need you to big up those dunks as much as possible.
Yeah. I got those ones.
And just so we're clear, you're a huge fan of carpet.
Major.
Just so we have that on the record.
Yeah. The Chicago Dunks.
Oh, nice. Habibis, I think. Did you wear the Habibis?
Yeah. I was just wearing those. Sunday. I was wearing those. Those are kind of mostly my recent heat.
Paul, you mentioned the collaboration on the dunk that you had last year, the Mexican boxing shoe. You had that collaboration, but your sneaker line stopped at 10. What was the reason for that? Or is there any clue that they'll bring it back?
You know, that subject stings. I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer on that one.
Was there any conversations on it or...
No, not really. It'd be nice. I mean, even to just retro and reissue some things. I mean, we have so much history, and Nike loves telling stories. We got, you know, 10 shoes to work with, a lot of stories to go there. So, you know, it'd be nice to reissue some things and have them out, not just even as quick strikes, just to have them re-released, you know. I'd be stoked on that. I'd be stoked to work on another shoe. Some things are out of my hands.
If you could bring one back, what would it be?
It'd be the one.
Yeah. Any specific collab or color or what?
If I could, in a perfect world, I'd like to bring back the 3 original drop colors and the Futura Stash. Just like bring back that whole release.
That whole original release.
Yeah. In a perfect world, that'd be something I'd like to do. Yeah.
I remember going past, I tell this story a lot. I remember going past the local skate shop in my town and seeing the J-Rod in the window and seeing a P-Rod with the Jumpman on the tongue and just being like, what is going on here? And it was right before the time when they were in the window and you could walk in and they were on the shelf. Those days are obviously over now, but it was like one of the last times of the feeling I had to go into a sneaker skate store and be like, do you have these in an 11 and 11 and a half? And they had them. And I just remember calling my friend like, you won't believe what I just got. It's this P-Rod one with a Jordan logo on the tongue.
What did you do? Did you just give somebody some money in the street? Like,
it was it must have been the last the last two sizes. I was getting lunch at the deli next to it, and then I just happened to walk by, and it's like in the window, and it might have been even the display one, but I didn't even care. And I was like, give me that in a size 11 and a half. And I remember calling my friend like, you won't believe this come up I just had. They were in the window.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
I would love for those to come back.
I would love it too. They came back briefly, but it was like it was different. They did put the sole from my 9th shoe on it and did like a little remix on it. But yeah, nothing beats the original, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say it feels really cool though. Sorry.
Oh yeah. It just feels really cool hearing like guys like yourself, like having that story and that memory. Like, cause for me, I'm just like, you know, I just feel like I'm a skater in this little skate world, and like I feel like only skaters know about it. To me, it's very cool and flattering to hear like people like having memories about that shoe, about certain shoes or products that I've been a part of. It trips me out, man.
Yeah, one of the memories I had was I remember you were on It's the Shoes on ESPN.
Yeah, with Bobbito,
who was also on the podcast way back then. And like you mentioned, you weren't that into sneakers at the time as far as like what sneaker culture was. Did it kind of bug you out that like at the time, like 2005, you're like, there's an ESPN show on sneakers?
Yeah, that definitely tripped me out. Because I, to be honest, I didn't have any idea who he was. And, you know, Nike people were like, oh, dude, this is a big deal. Like, I was like, oh, sweet. And I remember my dog at the time stepped on one of his shoes and, like, got mud on him. I felt so bad. He was bummed, man. He was bummed.
Your dog like, fucked on Bobbito's sneakers?
Yeah, man. I had a dog named Oreo. He was pretty big, and he was like, super energetic. He was nice. He wasn't mean or nothing, but he would jump on you and like, and like my backyard, I don't know, it had that like clay kind of ground. And after the sprinklers go on, that he would be back there running around, dredging up all the mud. And like, I forget why we went in the backyard. I think to go say hi to the dogs. And for sure enough, Oreo jumped on him and put a paw full of mud right on his shoe.
Yeah. Oh man.
I think he even grazed his shorts that he was wearing. It was a mess.
You gotta tell your Nike people to replace the shoes like on the spot. We need more sizes for Bob.
That's like the main memory I have from that shoot.
I guess maybe one of the last things I just want to ask you, when you mentioned coming on to SB and you asking to get the shoe and not realizing how crazy it was, you know, at the time to just be, you know, a young kid asking for your own signature sneaker, what was the reaction from the other skaters on the team? Because you had guys, you know, Reese Forbes, Richard Mulder, Gino. Yeah. What was their reaction to you being the young guy on the team getting the signature shoe?
It was, I don't know about like to the shoe, but like welcome me on to the team. They were all very, very welcoming. I remember my first trip on Nike. I was in Texas for a Make-A-Wish Foundation benefit, and it wasn't a Nike trip, but it was my first time being out in public wearing Nikes. And it was, the cat was out the bag, and, Danny Supa and Todd Jordan took me in. They took me out. I didn't really know many people there, like took me out with them that night. You know, took me under their wing. And then my first Nike trip was to Japan. It was just me and Reese Forbes. And I didn't really know Reese very well then. He was super welcoming, took me under his wing as well. We had a great time, did some demos. I have a lot of great memories, a lot of love for all those original guys, man. It was a real special time, real special era. I saw Richard Mulder maybe a month ago. He's a sweetheart of a guy. I still see all the guys around, but they were very welcoming, very open to the situation. And I don't know if anyone had any behind the scenes feelings of like this guy getting a shoe or whatever. I never felt those vibes or caught those vibes, you know.
P-Rod, you know, I know we wanted to do an hour before we go, besides obviously the upcoming, you know, quote unquote dunk. Anything else that you want to share with us for going forward? We're definitely looking out for that.
It's so funny because right now, like the timing of doing this interview is just a little early because I got I got two really cool things happening that is just shy of being able to talk about. I think this year you'll be seeing a lot of me. I think so.
Awesome.
I hope so. And I'm just working on some really cool stuff. I'm really happy. You know, I think last time when we did the interview, I was coming off knee surgery. So now I'm healthy again. I'm skating my ass off and looking to have a strong kind of comeback year. As far as skating is concerned, and I'm just really focused on that, man. I feel like I'm back in love with it. I have a second chance at a skate career. I'm very grateful. I thank God every day I'm able to still be here and be in this position. And so I'm going to try to make up for lost time and have a big year, hopefully.
Awesome, man. Well, definitely keep us updated when you could talk about that stuff. You know, we'll figure out a way.
Maybe another Cinco de Mayo dunk, a few months.
That's what I was saying. I said May, and I said plead the fifth. May, fifth. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, see. You're a conspiracy theorist, I could tell, huh?
You look at they're prying. They pry. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you can find the signs. I don't know. I'm not going to confirm nor deny anything.
Beautiful.
All I would say is... I think guys like yourselves will appreciate what we got coming.
And thank you for sending the dunk. It's right here in my closet.
No worries.
Appreciate it, man. It's awesome.
I'll get you guys on the next one too.
Awesome.
Appreciate that, Paul.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you chopping it up, man.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Our producer is Dave Matthews. Our associate producer is Jasmine Plata. Sound engineering done by Kyle Garvey. Special thanks to Jennifer Stewart and Shiva Bayet. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.